Come on, Bobby. Bobby
Bones. Transmitting across America.
Now turn it up. Now. This is the Bobby Bones Show. Let's go.
What's happening, friends? Morning, studio.
Morning.
Hope everybody had a good day yesterday. Hope you watched Caitlin and I on Running Wild with Bear Grylls. A little gathering at the house. It feels good to have a gathering and be able to share that you had a gathering so people don't gather shame you.
Mm-hmm. Call the cops on you.
Yeah.
Or like, there's like no judgment.
Used to,
yeah.
used to call the cops on folks having a party at their house. How do we feel about UFOs? Do we care this week or not?
I mean, I guess I always like to hear a story, especially if someone says they got abducted.
No, that isn't happening. That
never happens.
That's like bizarro stuff. But on 60 Minutes Sunday night, they had all these military guys going, hey, we would see stuff all the time that no one could explain. And there was another story that I read last night. The sightings were so common, this former Navy Lieutenant Ryan Graves said they were so common that pilots and their crews began to take them for granted. He's calling those objects a threat to security. And that what they saw was nothing that he thinks could actually be happening with modern technology.
Hmm.
Now the Senate Intelligence Committee has ordered a report of all these unidentified aerial phenomena to be delivered next month. Watching one of the videos, one of the guys is like, hey, you can't do this. You have rotation, you have high altitude, you have propulsion. I don't know what that is. He also said he wouldn't totally rule out the possibility that it could be Russian or Chinese technology that's so much better than us.
Right.
That's probably even scarier than aliens.
Yeah, that's true.
Very.
So, do we care this week? Because when Vegas changed the odds that we would have a life on another planet discovery this year, so they go, yeah, we think maybe there will be.
Yeah. Well, Vegas just doesn't give money away.
Vegas
so when
isn't,
they change
yeah, they don't
the
build
odds.
Those things by being wrong. But I read that. I mean, you're not going to tell me that something ain't happening.
I don't know either way, so I can't tell you.
You're not going to tell me something ain't happening. It's time to go over and reach in and open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hey, Bobby Bones, I have a dilemma, and I hoped you could give me some advice. I'm 32. I recently started seeing a new guy. We haven't had any conversations about it, but we're officially dating. We're not talking about girlfriend, boyfriend. Hey, that's fine with me. I'm just trying to mostly go with the flow. My question is, I don't want to have biological kids. I am physically able to get pregnant. I love kids. I want kids, but due to medical issues and the potential to pass on some less than ideal autoimmune conditions, I don't want to have them myself. When do I have that conversation with him? Since we haven't had any other important conversation, I don't want to jump straight to kids when we haven't even talked about if we're in a relationship or not really. Could use some advice on how and when to bring this up. Thank you so much. It's interesting. She wants kids, but she doesn't want to pass something on to them. Also, I don't think this is so much about the other person. I think you're being extremely unselfish going, I'm going to wait till it's okay with him. You need to have that selfish talk for yourself too. Right? Like, you don't want to get too bonded to someone and then they figure out that you don't want kids in a way they do. Like, it's okay to be selfish about this and go, hey, here's the situation. I know we're getting closer. Or you can just bring up kids. Like, you ever want kids?
Or like, what do you think about adoption?
Yeah. I think for you, the good thing, it's okay to be selfish about having these conversations even earlier than societally norm, is to go, you ever want to have kids? Like, did you come from a big family? Like, what's your situation? Because I think you can talk about that stuff early on in dating without being like, how many kids are we having?
Right. And maybe not even like, are we having?
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's just a way to bring it up and go.
Do you want kids?
And then you just tell your story, because it's not fair to you if you are falling for someone and you have the opportunity to put this out front for you not to do that. So I get it. You don't want to, scare somebody off. But I do think it's okay to have this conversation whenever you feel good about it. You don't have to wait for them. It's about you. Be a little selfish about it.
Do you think it matters when she has the conversation? Like, does it matter if she has it very early, or is it different if she has it in a year?
That's what I'm saying.
That's the question. But don't wait a year.
Yeah, I don't.
But I don't think the answer is going to be different.
No, but my answer is, are you feeling like you should talk about it? Talk about it.
Yeah.
The end. Because I don't want her to get into a really happy, healthy relationship and then have to break that off because he doesn't want what she wants.
Right.
And so you could say it's selfish or unselfish. I say it's okay to be selfish about it and kind of break the rules of talking about kids and make it about you and be like, hey, I don't really want to have a kid and here's why, but I do want to have kids in a different way. So go at it. Go to town.
Today.
have lunch. You don't have to bring up kids in such a serious way. Yeah. Where you're like, okay, tell me your future plans with children, where you're going to raise them, and how you're going to. You're like, you want a bunch of kids? Like, that's a great, easy intro question. Wait, do you want a bunch of kids? And like, a bunch? What does that mean? I mean, yeah, I mean, I could see having a couple. I don't want nine or anything. What about you? Well, I do want kids, but here's my situation. I can't, blah, blah. It's out there. It's not a, hey, let's have a sit-down talk.
Right, before everybody gets too invested in the relationship and too bonded.
Have it now.
How early did you guys have just any conversation about kids, you and Caitlin?
I think I was like, hey, I'm Bobby. She goes, hey, I'm Caitlin. I go, I want to have your kids right now.
That is now. Not what happened.
Yeah, I knew. I just knew. Early, I knew kids were important to her because we were just talking about what's important to us. It wasn't a relationship type conversation where it was like, what are we going to do together? It was, hey, what are you like?
Like, regardless of what happens
deal?
With
yeah.
us.
Like, what's you, the deal? If we don't, we're together, we're not together. Like, what did you want to do? And she's like, oh, I can't wait to have kids. Like, I've always, you know, wanted to have kids. And I didn't feel uncomfortable by that conversation because we weren't so invested at that time in being together forever. So have the conversation soon because it sounds like you want to have it. And don't feel bad about it. It's okay to be about you. That's it.
It's good.
You want to add anything?
No, I mean, I agree. Like, it's better to have this conversation, but in a, yeah, and not in like a pressure-y type way.
Way. Like, oh, yeah. Look at that. What'd you watch last night? Oh, yeah? How about kids? And that's okay. And that is the mailbag.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Morgan, if they want to email us, what do they do?
Mailbag@BobbyBones.com.
I'm wearing my Kurt Cobain t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Who is in
Nirvana.
The Nirvana.
Calm down. I have it. It just takes me a second.
You are wearing your Def Leppard shirt.
Yeah, the Def Leppard.
The Def Leppard, uh-huh. Yeah. So you named three songs?
No, and I've worn this shirt multiple times, and you ask me that every time. And I'm like, okay, pour some sugar on me. And then I'm like, I don't know.
And then you're done.
Speaking of music, George Strait turns 69 years old today.
Happy birthday.
Nice. 69. He was born George Harvey Strait in 1952. Do you know what town?
Somewhere in South Texas.
Poteet, Texas.
Poteet, yes. Okay.
Do you know where that is?
Yes, I do, actually.
I will play you 1 second of a famous George Strait song. Name the song. If you miss it, you are eliminated.
Oh. Have I shared with you that fun fact about his middle name being Harvey before?
Mm-mm.
Do you know my dad's full name was Harvey Clifton Moffitt? And George and my dad are named after the same Harvey, Harvey Ball. He was like a judge type attorney or lawyer.
Are they from the
judge.
Same town?
Yeah, they're from, our families are very mingled. Like someone in his family was married to a Moffitt. And anyway, that's how my uncle ended up getting the job at his ranch. Is like they were very, it's not enough to where he knows who I'm talking about if I said Harvey Ball, but like Harvey Ball's from like the 1800s.
Between Amy being second cousin with George Strait.
I'm not second cousin.
And Ray
with
having
him.
Dinner every Wednesday at Garth Brooks' house.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. This is an oddly connected show that we didn't know anything about.
I mean, you're friends with Ronnie Dunn now, so I guess that counts.
I know my friends. I mean, we text every few weeks.
No, that's just friends. It's only top of mind because, yeah, my dad just passed away, so I was going through a bunch of stuff, and I inherited a desk that once belonged to Harvey Ball, and that's who George's middle name is.
From the 1800s?
Yes.
Wow. Pretty cool. You should call George up and tell us if he wants it.
Oh, no, I want it.
Okay, all right.
He left it to me for some reason, probably because it was already moved up here to Nashville, and like you don't want to ship it because it's very rickety, but it's kind of cool.
Let's play Can You Name 1 second of a George Strait song? Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Here we go, number one.
Yeah? Amy?
Well, write your answer down.
Amy. Oh, okay.
It's elimination style. That is 1 split second. Eddie.
Amarillo by
Lunchbox.
Morning.
Amarillo by Morning.
Amy.
Amarillo by Morning.
Correct. Okay, next up, name 1 second. Go. Ooh, you basically got drums in the first note there.
Yeah.
It's a pretty strong note, though.
Yeah.
Lunchbox?
Carrying Your Love With Me.
Eddie?
Carrying Your Love With Me.
Amy?
Carrying Your Love With Me.
Name this song. A lot of drums. George comes in intense with the drums.
He's like, I want to start this one with the drums, boys.
One more time. Lunchbox?
Check yes or no.
Eddie?
Check yes or no.
Amy?
Check yes or no.
Nice. Okay. Here we go. Name this one. Boyami puts a pen down like she's in. I've never seen her be more in this game right here. Lunchbox?
Oceanfront property.
Incorrect. Eddie?
The fireman.
Correct. Amy? Yeah. Only two survive. Turn it up, Ray.
They call me the fireman. That's my name. Making my rounds all over town, putting out flames. Everybody like to have what I got. I can cool them down when they're smoldering hot. I'm the fireman. That's my name.
Burn up, here we go. All right, here we go. Next up.
Ooh.
Ooh, Amy's struggling. One more time, Ray. Name that George Strait song, Amy.
All my exes live in Texas.
Eddie?
All my exes live in Texas.
This was my first George Strait big song that I would listen to and know all the words to. This reminds me of my grandma. This song more than any of his other stuff.
So good.
Then later I became a fan just by listening myself, but this was, you know, put onto me. Okay, here we go. When did he live in Tennessee, though? What years?
That's a good question.
That's why he hangs his hat in Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
He may not have written that.
We know George didn't write a lot.
Write it. Yeah, yeah. But fun fact about my dad, all his exes live in Texas, too.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Number six. Okay. Eddie?
That is The Chair.
Amy?
The Chair.
Nice.
This is great.
We got two Texans here going
at
it. Next up. Oh, that's a good one. That's an easy one. That's a softball right there. Amy?
I Cross My Heart.
Eddie?
I Cross My Heart.
Okay, let's get a little bit harder. Next up.
What?
What is the, what's what that? What's that computer game in the beginning?
He's like, guys, I've been starting a lot with drums. Let's start with a computer game.
He's like, guys, fire up the Atari and bring it over here to the microphone.
Exactly. What is that?
Oh, my gosh. This was not in the box set.
If you don't get it, we'll give you 3 seconds.
To what?
If both of you don't get it, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have anything, Amy?
Yeah, Pac-Man.
That's your answer?
Yes, I don't have an answer.
For the win, Eddie.
I have Write This Down.
No, that's all right.
Okay, we'll do... Hold on. We'll do Sudden Death. We'll keep playing it till one of you guys yell your name.
No, I'm not
buzz in with your name. Here we go.
I'm not gonna lay around and whine and moan, 'cause somebody done me wrong.
Oh, you heard this, Amy?
Yes.
You know it, too.
Don't think for a minute.
Yell your name when you got it.
I'm gonna sit around and sing some old sad song. I believe it's half full, not a half empty glass. Every day I wake up knowing it could be my last.
Amy! I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
What's the name of the song?
I'm here for a good time.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Woo!
Yeah. Can you play the hook of that, please, so we can hear that? Yes. I'm not here
for a long time. I'm here for a good time. So bring me a sunshine.
You don't know that one
at all? Moonshine. Yeah.
Okay, no, now you're just saying what he said.
Obviously, I don't know that one well, or I would have gotten it.
But you did win. You beat Eddie, who usually is pretty good at these music games.
Yeah.
Good win, Amy.
I'm not here for a long time. I'm just here for a good time. All right, there she is, Amy, everybody.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
Congratulations to Jordan Davis. He and his wife, Kristen, are expecting their second child together, and it will be a baby boy. Thomas Rhett is willing to play live just about anywhere right now.
I would go play somebody's backyard. I'd go play at my high school's cafeteria. I just love sitting and playing guitar for people. Any opportunity that raises its hand is something that we can do safely and efficiently. It's kind of an absolute yes at this point. And so I can't wait to sit down and come up with a set list that includes just a bunch of my favorite songs from my past records and also get to play a lot of this new record.
Lady A played the Grand Ole Opry stage this past weekend, and they shared an unreleased song called Things He Handed Down. Here's a clip of their performance.
Yeah, those talks in that recliner, those fishing boat one-liners, it's his words that mean most to me now. Of the things he handed down, down, down. Oh, yeah. The things he handed down.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny. Come on.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
Earlier this year, Jimmy Preston's driving down the road during the snowstorm, and he spots John Bradbury, who's trying to get to work, walking. And he pulls over and says, hey, man, what's up? Like, you need a ride? He's like, yeah, I don't have a car. I don't have a license, really. I just need a ride. I work at the grocery store down the road. He's like, yeah, come on in. They talk about it. And the guy's like, I can't believe you don't have a driver's license. Now, I just don't have a driver's license, don't have a car or anything. I usually ride my bike, but it's snowy. So then this guy, Jimmy, he goes back and gets together with this nonprofit called Blessings in Disguises. Can we help him? He's like, absolutely. They get him all the fees that he needs to get a driver's license. They also get him a 2013 Toyota RAV4, and they get him a bike rack so he can put his bike on there so he no longer has to ride walk to work.
Did he pass his test?
I mean, it didn't say that, but I'm assuming he passed his test, Bones.
Okay. Just making sure.
And got his driver's license.
They got him the resources to learn.
Yes.
They got him a car, and they got him a bike rack.
Yeah, so he can put his bike in the back of the car if he wants to ride to work.
That's pretty good. That's like a 360 tell me something good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Dang, that's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, Lunchbox will do the Bonehead Story of the Year. He said, hey, can I have my own segment to do Bonehead Story of the Year, not the day? So we'll do that coming up in a minute. But I read this story. Target has decided to stop selling Pokemon cards because someone pulled a gun at Target over Pokemon cards. And so during the pandemic, they've gotten a lot more valuable. Heck, all cards have. All autograph stuff has. I mean, I guess Pokemon can't autograph a card, but still, like, all the memorabilia has become extremely valuable. And Mike D has collected Pokemon cards since you were a kid?
I was like 5 years old, yeah.
Do you have a lot of these?
I have a lot of them, some rare ones that I think could be worth some money.
What do you think if you were to take your Pokemon, am I saying it right?
Pokemon yeah.
Your Pokemon cards to an evaluator.
I think it all comes down to the condition they're in. That's kind of how they grade them. It could go from like one of them could be like $1,000. Or it could drop down to like $100, depending on how good they think it is.
What would you value your collection at?
I mean, I would say I have maybe in the like $2,000 to $3,000.
That's pretty good.
Or do you keep them in like plastic?
They're in it's in a plastic like binder. They're each in their own individual sleeve.
Wow, it's like
wow.
Yeah, hardcore. I've had them since I was a kid. They were at my parents' house. I was like, I think this could be worth money now.
Can we find someone to grade these cards, Scuba Steve? Yeah. Like Antique Roadshow, we take them and he tells us.
Yeah, I think there's a place located in town that's similar to the PSA, which is a national grading service. So we can try to get them in this week to have them look at it, yeah.
And, okay. And if they graded them, would they buy them?
In theory, I think if they're valued at a certain level or it's something that's really hard to find, like a Charizard or something, they would buy it because there's a resale market for it.
Would you sell your cards?
If I can get that much, I think it's worth it. I think right now is the time.
Yeah.
Can I buy in for half? I give you $500 for half of your ownership.
No way.
Why not? But what are you talking
because
about?
What's the advantage?
What's the advantage to me?
The advantage is you may not make $1,000 out of it.
Then I would keep them.
But to do what with?
I'll give them to my kids someday.
$600. No. I will give you $600 for half ownership, and then we split the proceeds.
No, I'd either go all the way or not sell them at all.
How much?
I would say like over $2,000 I would sell them.
So you would want $1,000 for half?
Yeah.
He went over. Oh, $1,000. Okay.
Gotcha. Ooh, I would take that, Mike.
I'm not doing that.
I thought you were offering.
$650.
No.
That's guaranteed cash.
I'm good.
You're turning down $650.
Yeah, it's not so much about the money for me. Like, I want to know that they're
valuable.
That's
a lot of money.
But I would rather hold on to them for less.
Okay, we can get these graded. I hope now they're worth like $100 total.
Bobby.
What?
Don't do that.
Yeah, for the bit, that'd be hilarious. After I offered him $650. Okay, we'll try to find someone, and we'll see what they grade out at.
Okay.
$700. This is your last opportunity.
No, I'm good.
Would you guys take $700 for half?
No, I'm with Mike
on
this
cards,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you take that?
Listen, because you have to have the rarest of rare, perfect condition to get your $2,000 that you're thinking. $700 plus whatever he, let's say they come to you and they say they're only worth $1,000. You made $1,200 instead of only $1,000.
Last chance, Mike. Going once, going twice.
I'll pass.
Oh.
Nice.
All right, I'm Team Bones now. I hope they're worth crap. Oh.
All right, we'll try to find someone this week or next week, Scoop Steve.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Okay. But yeah, someone pulled a gun at Target, so they've taken them all out of the store now. You can only buy them online.
Yeah, might as well keep other customers safe.
Yeah, yeah. Lunchbox sent me a note. He said, hey, I have the bonehead story of the year. I'd like to share this. This would make me end it. That means you would, this would happen and you would...
Probably end my life.
Oh, my gosh. What is he talking about? Is that what he meant?
Yeah, I would assume this made me end it.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
And I think everybody, that if this happened to you, you would end it.
Okay.
This would be it.
Here is your bonehead story of the year from Lunchbox. Go ahead.
This story comes to us from Los Angeles, California. Back on November 14th, a woman went into a gas station, bought a lottery ticket, and she matched all numbers for the $26 million jackpot. Only problem is, she left the ticket in her jeans, went to do a load of laundry, washed the jeans, and destroyed the ticket. And now she can't claim the prize. And all that money is going to go to the education system of California.
Well, that's the worst news ever.
We have questions.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh.
How do they know it was her?
Mm-hmm. She is on video. She went back to the gas station, was like, hey, you got to go find the tape. Like, I purchased it at this gas station. She's a regular at the gas station. They know her as a lottery player. They went and found the tape, and they turned it over to lottery officials, and they said, look, that's great and all, but if you don't have a picture of you holding the front and back side of the ticket, nothing we can do.
This is just my ignorance with the lottery, but how do they know that she selected those numbers?
They can tell what time the ticket was purchased and where.
Oh, so they could just...
They can match everything with the computers.
But so they could take the security footage and say 6:42 p.m., and then they can say this ticket was sold at 6:42 p.m. at this place... And so they could verify that it was her.
Well, I would think that that's enough to prove that it was her.
But I don't think so. I think you need to have the ticket.
Really?
Otherwise, why don't you just go in at a time and go, hey, put me up for 6:42, here are my numbers, and walk out with no ticket and just verify everyone.
Oh.
I just think with like today's technology, like we gotta be better than a piece of paper to prove that you won the lottery.
Right.
What do you do after you buy your ticket?
You hold on to your ticket.
You get your ticket and you take it, right?
But she didn't do that.
You know the rule.
Well, she did do that. She just left it in her jeans.
Oh.
It stinks.
Oh, no, this is life ending. Guys,
it's not life ending.
Listen, $26 million down the drain. Like, you take the cash sum, it's like $19.7 million.
Yes, and then after taxes, it's probably...
Okay, $12
million. 11, yeah.
Oh,
maybe
terrible.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, first of all, let's get the facts right. About $11 million, but I don't think that's worth killing yourself over.
Okay, I'm going to look at the bright side here, and you know how sometimes the lottery ruins people's lives? Not everybody.
It just ruined her life.
No. What I'm saying is, what if this is like some weird way of protecting her? Like the lottery, that much money was going to ruin her life?
You think God just put that ticket in her pocket
and
watched
you guys,
it?
Maybe.
He's like, we don't need this to happen to her. Maybe.
Maybe.
She
I'm
wasn't
saying,
ready for
like,
it.
What if it's a blessing in disguise? I'm just trying to
There
find
is nothing, there's no blessing about losing $12 million.
Well, have you ever seen the lottery ruin my life on...
Yeah, those are...
To be fair, we did a story that said, hey, we know that there are a lot of stories about the lottery ruining people's lives, but for the most part, people that win are pretty happy.
I know.
Yeah.
But
for
what,
the most part.
My gosh.
What if this saved her?
What if that were you? What would you really do?
Stop it. Don't say that. Don't say that.
I'd probably end it.
You wouldn't.
Guys.
You're so full of crap.
Don't even make light of that.
No, I'm not making light of it. I'm being serious.
Okay.
Like something you dreamed about and you had the money in your hands. You had the life you've been dreaming about in your hands and it just went away. It's a wash.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, so she's not getting the money. No. For sure they're saying no,
well,
no chance.
Well, they said they'll still investigate, but very unlikely she's going to get the money.
Well, wow. There's still a chance.
I'm shocked. Ugh. I honestly would think if they have security footage and the timestamp, that's good enough.
Can you prove without a doubt it was her face?
Like, I don't know. And what if she gave the ticket to someone else? Because then someone come forward and say, oh, actually, she bought that ticket for me. So I think that's why you have to have the ticket.
Oh, that's true.
Ticket.
Dang.
Well, there you go. I'm the one that bought it. I'm
Lunchbox, and that is your bonehead story of the year.
She didn't do it on purpose, though. Bonehead usually do dumb stuff on purpose.
Listen.
Well, no. A bonehead is making an accident, too. That's pretty boneheady. To have your lottery ticket and then do the wash.
Ugh.
She's probably just played so many times before and lost that she's like, oh, there's my lottery ticket. She probably doesn't pay attention.
Now you guys got me all down in the dumps. All right, we got some voicemails last night that we want to play here. Here's the first one.
Hey, Bobby. Just went and bought 6 $2 scratch-off tickets, and we won $27. Killing the game over here.
All right. Enough rubbing it in. All right, here is number two.
Bobby and show. I am a podcast listener. I have been for a while. And I just finished listening to the Keith Urban interview, and it's just so uplifting. You guys are just so great. And what's been kind of a tough weekend for me is just I feel like I'm hanging out with my friends when I listen with y'all. So thanks for the joy you bring into our lives. Take care, everybody.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And you can hear that interview on the podcast on Friday's show. So check that out. Here is one more.
Morning, studio. I thought that you might like to know that my 2-year-old who's potty training calls the potty the Bobby.
I have to go to the Bobby.
All right. You can always leave us a voicemail when we're not on the air. 877-77-BOBBY.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So I got some happiness hacks. These take 5 minutes or less. So if you're feeling a little down, maybe try taking 10 breaths. All you got to do is close your eyes, focus on the inhale and the exhale 10 times. Okay. Boom, you might be a little bit happier. Also, you can just listen to a happy song. Like, Bobby, what's a song that makes you happy?
The opening of My Maria. My Maria.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Maria.
Yeah, maybe because we get to sing that with them, too.
Oh, so yeah.
It brings back that memory.
Maybe so, but I wonder why when you said that, I went right to My Maria from Brooks and Dunn.
That was a happy memory for me. Watching y'all side stage perform with Brooks and Dunn, it is one of my top 5 career moments. And wow. I wasn't a part of it. I just was like filming at side stage. Okay, so this is kind of cool if you share a home with somebody. The household chore gap is shrinking dramatically, so men are really stepping up their game. It found that men and women, it's now 50-50 when it comes to chores. Cleaning, cooking, washing clothes, it's almost exactly the same.
Yeah, I would say we don't split stuff in half. We just do different things. Right?
Yeah, like men tend to do more outside chores and women kind of do indoor, but
it's
50-50.
Oh, I don't do crap outside.
You don't?
But I'm not very manly. No, no. But I handle the dogs. I take them out in the morning, feed them at night. Like for the most part, the dogs, feeding, waking, sleeping is my job. Trash going out, like stuff like that would be mine.
Yeah, see, that's outside.
Yeah.
You take the trash out.
I think she probably does more than me, though. I was about to list all hers, and I was like, maybe I do like 2 things.
Well, then maybe you need to step it up.
Yeah, I hear you.
At home. Well, Dolly Parton was at the Whole Health Includes Mental Health event, and it's Mental Health Awareness Month, the month of May, and she was talking about the stigma related to mental illness.
We all experience moments of anxiety or depression at one time or another. And I believe that it's how we handle those moments that ultimately defines us.
Yeah, you know, she said she experiences it too. So a lot of people tend to think that she's always happy. And then she put in a joke right after that where she said, but to be honest, that's just my Botox. But, I mean, I love Dolly's sense of humor. But really, it's cool that Dolly was a part of that. And she was sharing some of her experience so that people don't feel alone. And, yeah, to just normalize talking about mental health issues.
Love
it. Shout out Dolly Parton. I am Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news
with Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
There's a Facebook group called Make Fun of Boomers. So they look at boomers' posts on Facebook and they make fun of old people, like in their little group. Well, there's a 57-year-old man that needs a liver transplant and he posted on Facebook that he was selling a compressor. Instead of making fun of him, they went out and raised $57,000 for him.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah,
on Facebook?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they saw it on Facebook, and usually they go and make fun of posts from by boomers. They saw this, they needed a liver, and that's why he was selling his stuff, and they got their group together and raised $57,000.
Do you know what a boomer is?
Boomer sooner.
No.
You kept saying boomer, a baby boomer. It's like a generation. It's like baby boomer.
Our parents.
Gen X,
Maybe they were from Oklahoma.
No.
I mean, boomer that's sooner. A solid guess.
Like, I really did. I saw
well,
it.
He kept
like,
just saying boomer, so I thought maybe he didn't know it was a generational thing. Gen X, Gen Z, millennial, bleh, all those. Boomers want the baby boomers.
Oh, yeah, because it says Facebook group that makes fun of boomers. And they always say, boomer,
so you thought
sooner
it was just an organization or a Facebook group that made fun of Oklahomans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, look at them helping out. Yeah. Oops. I thought they were helping an Oklahoman
still a
out.
Good story, though. Still yeah. A good story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Two things we're about to get into. The morning corny, and then we have a story coming up. Five life hacks that you need to know right now, including one thing you need to put in your freezer before you cook it, which I'd never heard of.
Okay.
So we'll get to all that in just a second. But first, Amy wants to try out a new segment. Okay?
Yeah.
She's become obsessed with birds.
I love them.
She's found peace in birds in her backyard.
They're my babies.
Every day I see another segment about her wanting to talk about birds. So she.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep sending them until one day they make it like today.
So you have suggested.
The Bird Minute.
The Bird Minute.
Yeah, and if it goes over well, then maybe Ray and I could come up with some imaging.
No, wait, we already have it.
What?
Yeah.
And now it's time for Amy's Bird Minute.
What on earth?
Okay, perfect. Yes, that's exactly what I thought it might look like. Oh, okay. Well, I want to tell you today about the white bellbird. It lives in the Amazon, and it's the loudest bird on the planet. It's been recorded to be as loud as a chainsaw. It makes this noise to attract female birds. So to me, it's kind of like the class clown that's really loud and tries to make the girls laugh so they pay attention to him, because apparently this bird is not the prettiest looking thing you've ever seen. So, yeah, I can't wait to travel to the Amazon to maybe see one day. And Bobby, this bird, you know, reminded me of
and
you.
And that was Amy's Bird Minute.
60 seconds. We hit it. We have to go right away.
That was not 60 seconds.
Yeah. Ray was watching the clock.
Okay.
He spent the first seven of it going, ooh, look at that.
Well, because I really like my imaging.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. The white bellbird.
Which is louder, cicadas or the chainsaw
ooh
bird there she's talking about?
Good question.
Ray says cicadas sound like a jet engine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've already been to the store and we got my wife new wiper blades because it's difficult to see when the cicadas are here.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even want to drive anywhere during cicada.
We have a caller that wants to tell us about the cicadas. We'll get to in just a second.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Ray's wife calls it cicada-palooza.
Does she?
I mean, I think she's now built into it because we're talking about it on the show, so she feels like she's the expert since she lived here.
Let's go to Amy and get in the morning corny. Here we go.
The morning corny.
So I grilled a chicken for 2 hours, and then it still wouldn't tell me why it crossed the road.
Grilled
she
it.
Grilled it. She, okay.
That was the morning corny.
Jimmy in Virginia is on the phone.
So, if y'all haven't ever experienced this, I'm 59, so this will be my fourth invasion of the cicadas. And it's overwhelming. I don't remember the first round when I was only 8, but I am telling you that you literally can't walk in a parking lot without, like, there's not some of them. There's, like, millions. And you can't do hopscotch and miss one without stepping on, you know, because they're everywhere. This one tree had yesterday had 200 of them on it. I mean, you're looking across, what's wrong with that tree? And I go over and investigate, and they're like, there had to be at least 200. It's amazing. And they really are that loud. But they'll be gone by July 4th, they say. But I live up in Alexandria, Virginia, but this was all out in Fairfax. But they're coming, and they are loud. I mean, if you have not lived it, because I've been trying to tell people about this, it's an incredible experience. And, you know, it's just so short window.
But they are that loud.
I don't know if they can live up to the hype, honestly, after Raymundo's been talking about it for weeks and his wife. If it's as this guy says, and different parts of the country are affected in different ways, we need to have Night of the Living Dead or I'm going to be disappointed at this point. We have no cicadas at my house.
Yeah, they haven't made it
yet.
They're coming.
I got pretty ample mating ground, and nobody's mating there yet.
The cicadas are coming.
Waylon in Texas, you are on the Bobby Bone Show. Waylon, what's going on with you?
Nothing much. I was just looking at a survey that was about America, dogs or cats, and I was just wondering about everybody on the show. Do y'all like dogs or cats?
I got to assume that dogs would overwhelm cats, right? Like, yeah. What, like 75-25? Mm-hmm. What was the survey, Waylon?
There's about 2% over dogs. I was surprised.
That's it, huh? For me, I have two dogs. I have a bulldog named Stanley, and then we have like a husky hound mix that's like 7 months old named Eller. We named her after Aunt Eller in the movie Oklahoma. But we have two dogs, no cats. You?
I'm a dog person. I have a dog, Kara, and we're getting a cat.
You think?
Yeah. We think. I've maybe even scammed, but eventually we will have a cat. I like cats.
Yeah.
But I've been a dog person the last, 15 years.
Does anyone have a cat? Ray does.
Yeah, Pablo. I was at odds with him when I first met him, but I have grown to become a cat guy. And I mean, I think about him every day and we take naps together.
Yeah.
It's like 10 dogs to one cat on this show. Yeah, I'm surprised that it was only a 2%. Difference there. Hey, Waylon, what do you have? You have a dog or cat?
I have two dogs. I got a black lab. She's about a year and a half old. And then I got an old golden retriever lab mix. And he's about 6-7 years old.
Waylon, you have an interesting voice. I can't tell if you're like a teenager or if you're like an old man.
I'll let y'all guess that.
He's a kid.
As a game or yeah. Are you just going to hang up?
No, just tell us.
No, hold on. If he's going to hang. Waylon, did you ever watch the show Friends?
No.
So he must be young. Huh?
That could be either or. Really old or really young.
I'm going to guess Waylon's 15 years old. What do you guess?
17.
Yeah, it's a good guess. I would say like 14.
Oh, so we think he's a teenager?
Yeah. 18.
Waylon, how old are you?
14.
Oh! Okay. I said 15.
Good job.
Okay. He could have been a skinny old man, though.
Mm-hmm. At first, you're yeah. right. I was picturing that. Mm-hmm. But then now Waylon. It all makes sense.
Definitely could have been a skinny old man. All right, Waylon. Hey, I appreciate that call. What are you doing today? Shouldn't you be in school?
I had to go to the bathroom in the middle school.
Oh, are you doing virtual, like Zoom?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Well, listen, hey, at least he's checking out American surveys about cats and dogs.
Yeah, shouldn't you be doing like history?
Yeah.
Math.
All right, Waylon. Have a good day, not at school, bud.
Yep.
Okay. This is where you tell him, go to school, man.
Yeah, go to school.
Waylon, what do you want to be when you grow up, buddy?
I don't know. I was kind of thinking about dropping out of high school next year.
No, don't. Why would you do that?
Is he joking? He's laughing.
I was thinking rodeo clown.
Okay, Waylon's just messing with us now. All right, okay. Waylon. We're done. Waylon. We tried, buddy. We can't be friends because you won't open up and be vulnerable. That's what friendship's all about, bud. All right, that's it.
We
Waylon.
Just got pranked.
Goodbye, Waylon. There we go. Bye, Waylon.
He probably didn't even read a study about cats and dogs.
You got us.
I got a list of amazing hacks. I know you brought this up earlier. Number one, put onions in the freezer for 10 minutes before you chop them. You ever heard about this?
Oh, I've heard either that or drop them in ice water. So that would be the same thing.
They're less likely to make you cry because it takes longer for the juices to release the chemical gas that makes you tear up.
Oh, good hack. Cool.
So put your
that.
Onions in the freezer. Mm.
And freezer's way easier than making an ice bucket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But are they harder to... I guess 10 minutes wouldn't all the way freeze them
up. It's not
going to
freeze it.
Number two, use a cheese grater for hard butter, especially if you're baking. It softens up a lot faster, and you don't have to risk liquefying it in the microwave.
Genius. I always put it in the microwave, and it turns into a hot mess.
So you can just...
And then I don't know if something about microwaving, it changes the chemical makeup, and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do in baking, but that's a pro tip. I love it.
This one is for me because I have a piece of paper. I'm so OCD about stuff, and everything we talk about that I have listed, I mark off with a permanent marker, with a Sharpie, big, big, bold Sharpie. We go through about 4 big fat Sharpies a month here. And so the next one is if you get permanent marker on your skin, you can use nail polish to remove it.
Hmm. Oh.
Regardless of where it is.
Nail polish? Nail polish remover.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
You don't want to paint your hands.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What about
it does say remover. I quit reading it. Nail polish.
Okay.
What?
I got some. Well, one of my kids got permanent marker on my white kitchen countertop.
It probably will work because we have white counters here in the studio, and we get it off.
Okay.
With that stuff. Next up, use Windex to get a ring off your finger if it won't come off.
Okay.
Someone at a jewelry store said it works. The Windex has compounds called surfactants that lower surface tension, basically makes it a little slicker, and it will come off.
Interesting.
And then finally, this one's going to blow your mind. You can use chips as kindling if you need to start a fire.
What?
Like Doritos?
Corn chips, potato chips, Doritos work. They're all flammable because of all the fat and oil.
No way. What?
Awesome.
And they burn slowly, which is good.
And then your fire smells camping, like nacho cheese.
And last night on Running Wild with the Bear Grylls, when Caitlin and I were on, what we learned on the show was you can take one of those Brillo pads, take it with you when you go camping in a battery, and all you have to do is take the Brillo pad, twist it up like a mustache, take both ends, put it on the battery, and it starts a fire.
Oh.
You saw that last night. Pretty crazy. We were like mind blown. So to start a fire, that's all you have to do.
You just got to make sure to have a battery and a Brillo pad.
I might just take
a
lighter. Might just take a lighter.
No, but if you're going out and you're out of lighters.
Good point.
You may put it in like your bag of stuff, your just in case stuff.
Right.
Put a bag.
Just in case you lose your lighter.
Yeah. Yeah, I would take matches a lot. There's a whole lot of things I would take. But maybe you don't have it and you're scrubbing dishes and you have a battery.
You're right.
Yeah, who cares? Let's do a segment called What's the Haps? Hey,
what's the haps?
Basically, it's what's happening in your life right now. Amy?
Well, I just want to shout out to my 14-year-old daughter and her whole class. Like, they had a service day instead of a normal school day. So instead of going in and learning, they went to this elderly woman's house who's also a widow. And they helped clean the inside, the outside, and then clean some cars. And she just came home and said it was the coolest day. So I'm glad that she enjoyed being a part of something like that and helping out this widow.
She's starting to like that kind of stuff?
Yes. I mean, I think that she's a kind kid, so she likes to help out. I don't know that she's ever gone to an elderly person's home and helped clean up and,
but I mean,
and
just
work
in
the yard.
Like, giving back.
But yeah, I think that she's into that for sure.
Eddie, how are your kids doing with that?
With the giving back? They still haven't gotten that concept yet.
Yeah, okay. Hey!
Hey, what's the hat?
Eddie, speaking of your kids, tell your story.
So, you know, we're really deep into baseball season right now. So the coaches were like, hey, have them watch Major League Baseball. That way they understand the game, every little situation that they're in, they get it. So that's what we've been doing. We've been watching Major League Baseball. And I guess the players, you know, they make a lot of money. So a lot of these players like to wear jewelry. So the one thing my kids got out of watching Major League Baseball on TV is now they want to start wearing jewelry to their baseball games.
Like gold chains.
Gold necklaces with crosses on them and stuff like that.
While are you going to let them?
No. I think it's dangerous. Like, I think that because the only jewelry they have now is a tiger tooth I told you they got from the book fair or whatever. And so that's all they got. And they're like, can I wear the tiger tooth? I'm like, yo, guys, if you slide in a second, you can stab someone with that tooth. No jewelry right now.
Put it under your shirt.
Like they do.
What if I get them a couple crosses?
I mean, they'd wear it 100%.
Would you let them wear it in the game?
I don't know. I mean, I was really firm on, like, you cannot wear the tiger tooth. But, I mean, if you want to give
the
them crosses.
The tiger tooth might actually cut into them.
For sure.
Yeah. Why do they wear necklaces when they play? I would think when they run really fast. It
flops.
Yeah, but that would get annoying.
Amy, this one guy, he was wearing, like, hundreds of diamonds. He slid into second. The diamonds went everywhere.
You know what he did? Bought another one.
Yeah, he did. No problem.
It's like the guy that was driving the Tesla in San Francisco. He has a Tesla, and he puts it in auto mode, and he gets in the back seat, right? And so he like waves at people and shoots videos of himself in the back seat as the car's driving. Well, so they arrested him, and they impounded the car, and he went to jail. And as soon as he got out of jail, he's so rich, he went and bought another Tesla and did it as he left.
Dang.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
see, guys. That's baller.
He was like, I have a lot of money. What are you going to do?
Need that life.
I mean, that's like influence. There's a show I was watching on HBO Max. I'm not done yet. It's a documentary. It's called Fake Famous, where they do like interviews with like hundreds of people. They put an ad out, and the ad goes, hey, we just want somebody that wants to be famous. Like, let us know. They interview all these people. They pick three, and they're trying to build them into famous people on social media. That's it. Just an experiment to see if they can do it.
That sounds cool.
I'm about halfway through it. It's pretty interesting. But it's called Fake Famous if you have HBO Max. Eddie, if I get them crosses, I want to see them one.
All right, let's
hey.
Do it.
Hey, what's the haps?
I talked about it on the show. I found out about 3 weeks or so ago, maybe a month. So I have IBS.
Oh, yes.
I just haven't been able to eat food.
Irritable
bowel syndrome. Mm-hmm.
And so I've been on this thing, this pill called Linzest. Pretty good. Yeah, I feel like it took a while to get working right, but it's pretty good. And so I guess IBS is supposed to be embarrassing to talk about.
Well, you're going to break that stigma.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rocking it. I always thought I'm an itchy bowel.
Itchy butt?
Yeah, like basically itchy butt syndrome.
No, but it's way not. More
it's just like inside your stomach.
Yeah.
But I'm on this, I don't know, it's probably not for everybody, but I'm on this Linzess. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Good for you.
Yeah, I eat and don't feel like this. Oh. And then it feels like two people are boxing inside my stomach.
Oh, man.
But now, all good. I eat, I sleep, I poop. The end.
Good for you.
Pretty great. Hey.
Hey, what's the hatch?
Lunchbox.
Man, I busted my wife hardcore. I guess she thought I was going to be working late or whatnot. I come home and she's sitting on the front porch with her former coworker, just drinking. There are two bottles of wine in the middle of a freaking weekday afternoon. Cheese, crackers, and just hanging out. And I'm like, hey, girl, you've been unemployed for a year now. You don't think you should be looking for jobs? No, too busy looking at empty wine bottles, just chatting it up with her and her former coworker.
What's his name?
I don't know his name.
Oh, no, is it a guy?
Yeah, it's a dude.
Oh,
wait,
I was
what?
Just joking. I was just joking.
Yeah.
What? Gay?
No.
Well, okay, this is getting interesting.
That was, I mean, I don't care about the dude
your
part.
Sitting on a porch.
Okay, so if your wife came home wine. And you were on the porch with a woman, she wouldn't care?
No.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't care about the dude part. I'm just talking about, hey, you know, maybe get up that computer and send off some resumes. Instead, they were just chatting it up good old style.
I
like,
mean,
oh.
They were hugging and kissing, but that's not the important part.
She needs to get a job.
No, there wasn't any hugging or kissing. They were. She was
rushing to button her shirt up, but, you know.
Her hair still looked like it was all, you know, fixed perfectly.
Yeah.
It wasn't all. But yeah, I mean, cheese, crackers, two bottles of wine, pitcher of water. I mean, they were having a good old time. Huh. Man, that unemployed life must be nice.
All right, there you have it. Developing story.
What?
I think they call that fun employed.
I mean, yeah. Eddie, check that out. That looks like a good time to you?
Yeah, it does. A lot of wine, a lot of cheese.
You took a picture of them?
I took a picture of them. I didn't take a picture of them. I took a picture of the stuff.
I want to hire a private eye to take a picture of them.
Follow I know. I'm not worried about them.
Okay, all right.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A special ed teacher in California surprised one of her students during his birthday drive-by. Manhattan Beach residents Pete and Allison planned a car parade for their son, Luke. It was his 10th birthday. After all the cars rolled past, a dancing unicorn strutted down the street. Pete cranked up the song one more time from his favorite movie, Trolls World Tour. You ever see that one?
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
Is it? They're musicians.
Yeah, they're
right?
singing, mm-hmm.
The unicorn danced on the street as Luke danced on the lawn. Under the inflatable costume was Meadows Elementary School teacher Heather Tuttle, also known as the Unicorn Teacher. She decorates her classroom with unicorns, gives unicorn gifts, and even lets the students dictate her next hair color. And they're just very happy that she came, volunteered her time, put on a unicorn costume, and danced for her son, who likes unicorns as well.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. What's that song? Is that the song from One More Time? Or is it a different one?
Ooh, I don't know.
Mike looks at me like, no, that's the you're aging yourself there. Well, whatever it is, that's a pretty cool story. To Heather Tuttle, great job. Appreciate you. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here's a voicemail we got last night after our episode of Running Wild with Bear Grylls aired.
Hey, Bobby. Just watched your Running Wild episode with the family. What a great episode. Totally proud of Caitlin. What a rock star she was. I'm so happy for you and Caitlin. You did a great job, both of you. And also the little teaser for Breaking Bobby Bones. I can't wait. That made my stomach turn so much just thinking of hanging over the Grand Canyon like that. I don't know how you did it, but I'm super excited to watch.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Thank you for watching. We had a little gathering last night at the house. Got 12 people over. We have a little theater room. And our friend Nick grilled. Eddie watched.
Yeah.
Which was hard for you to do because you are the grill guy.
But you want to respect the guy that's grilling.
And
Let him do the job.
He called dibs first, and Eddie just sat back and had a beer. And I know he was, like, itching to jump in there. But he didn't. Watch the episode. We really had a good time. But you know what's so underrated? That I just want people to forget about is cookie cakes.
Oh, yeah. No, they're the best.
Great American Cookie Company might be best company that makes food.
Mm-hmm.
You forget about it sometimes.
So why good.
Cookie? No, period. Oh, any company that makes food.
Oh, okay, yeah. You're right. They're pretty solid.
Pound for pound, I could eat an entire cookie cake. just underrated. Sometimes I forget about them. Mm-hmm, I like to apologize to them right now. Scuba Steve, is it possible to get the CEO of the Great American Cookie Company on? Because I have some apologizing to do.
I'll work on it for you. I'm also a fan myself, so let's do it.
I'm telling you. So our friends Nick and Keaton got this thing, and it said congratulations for not dying, and it had snails on it because we ate raw snails, whatever, last night. And then, but then I had cake, and then I'll be honest with you. I woke up at like 3 this morning to pee, made a little detour to the kitchen, had some more cookie cake, and that's not normally my vibe. But it was great, and thank you. Now, next up, and I'm going to give it a couple days, but my own show now, which I'm extremely excited about. I cannot believe they gave me my own show. And, you know, if we're able to get some good ratings and win, this is a team win. Not only me and us in the studio, but you guys. And so May 31st, Memorial Day night, set that DVR, 10-9 Central. It's a little later on this one.
Oh, yeah.
10-9 Central. It's called Breaking Bobby Bones. They showed a 9-minute clip of it last night where I'm literally shaking. My body was trembling as I was about to be shoved out over the Grand Canyon on a rope.
They did a great job putting together even the clips in between the, like, you and Caitlin's episode, the commercials, and then the teaser at the end. Even my father-in-law was like, wait a second, we don't get to watch the rest? Like, he was so he's officially teased. He's ready for it.
I'm so nervous about it airing. Mm-hmm. Because if it has terrible ratings, and I just shot for a year, then I get canceled, and I don't get any more shots. That's it. This is it. So I'm extremely nervous about it, but I'm so excited for it to happen. And thank you all for the nice messages and all that. But we'll move on. We'll take your calls if you want to get them in, but we'll move on and do the news.
Bobby's Big Stories.
All right. Target will no longer require face masks for fully vaccinated guests and team members. Costco, Walmart, no longer requiring masks. Good, right? You're vaccinated. I feel good about it. Here's what I say. The weird little hiccup is when they're like, well, if you're vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. Nobody's checking a vaccination card.
Right. Are we going to get carded?
Maybe they just have to say that.
Okay.
But I got vaccinated. I want to wear a mask. I'll be honest with you. I'm good. Let's go. Let's rock and roll. But at the mall last week, it was store to store. So we wore the mask on our ear to show that, hey, we're here for the mask. Thumbs up if you need it. But if you don't need it, we don't want to wear it. And so we just kept it on our ear, and sometimes be like, oh, you got to wear your mask. We're like, hey, we would show them, hey, no problem. We're okay with that.
We got it right here.
Yeah, we're not yelling fascists at people, but we're slowly getting back, and I can appreciate that. Almost 40 million American families will begin receiving the new monthly child tax credit payments in less than 2 months. The White House said the payments, part of the expanded child tax credit, will hit families beginning July 15th. Do you know how this works, Amy and Eddie?
No.
No clue.
Okay. So qualifying families will receive a monthly payment of $300 per child under six and $250 per child older than six. So money. Okay. Because you have kids. You ready to have more kids and make more money is the question.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Parents making incomes higher will receive smaller amounts. It's just like when you pay your taxes.
Right.
Yeah.
If you make more, you go up to a higher bracket, you pay more taxes. Mm-hmm. If you make less, you get more money back. So that's the situation, but that starts in July.
Woo!
Eddie has 19 kids.
I have four.
You're going to double up your salary.
Yeah.
Do you get any sort of credit for being a foster parent?
They get a monthly, whatever you call it, a monthly allowance. It's not a lot, but it covers certain things that we need for them, certain foods and things that they need.
A fan-funded Morgan Wallen billboard showed up in Los Angeles yesterday ahead of the Billboard Music Awards, which is Sunday. It's the same group of people that put up the billboards in Nashville before the ACMs. You got to love the fact that they are passionate and spending their own money.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't doubt it if it was somebody on that team. Oh. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And I've done crap like that before. I talked about it on the post show yesterday. You know, I went to our bosses months ago and was like, hey, what's the deal? Let's get Morgan, you know, back on the air. And they were like, hold off. Even what I think I heard from them was, we talked to the team. They're in no rush to get music on the air either. That's what it felt like to me. And then they told me, hey, know your role. You don't do music. And I was like, yes, sir. You got it.
Oh, so even Morgan's team's being patient.
I'm not speaking for them.
Oh,
but,
I know.
But
I'm
just
guessing.
That's what I took from it.
Okay.
Was that they had conversations constantly. And they were like, hey, we're not in a hurry either to kind of kick the door down and be like, here we are. So don't feel like you have to be either. But I was not part of those conversations, and they told me I will not be a part of those conversations. Yeah. Listen, they give me kind of free rein to do what I want here, but they don't really care for my input on any sort of national music strategy.
They're like, we got this.
Yeah, I was like, hey, how long are we going to punish the guy? Right? He's obviously trying to do better. And, you know, that was the goal from the first day that I hopped on the air. I was like, hey, you got to go away, but you got to come back. You got to show people that this was just a dumb mistake. And I was like, what are we going to do? They're like, you see that role right there? That's your role. You know that role. I was like, all right, you got it. So that's it. That's the news. Thank you very much.
Bobby's Big Stories.
A lot of people in North Carolina bet 666 in the lottery.
Ooh.
And almost 8,000 tickets won.
Wow.
Lottery officials say the number 666 came up Wednesday evening in Carolina's Pick 3 drawing. This is last week, causing almost 8,000 tickets to win a total of over $3 million in prizes.
Well, that just shows every week a lot of people probably pick 666. It's just rare that it wins.
Yes.
Yeah.
And who's going to go and be like, all right, of any three numbers, Mr. Gas Station Guy, I'm going to pick 666.
Oh, no.
Scary.
What's wrong with people? Which, by the way, the Mega Millions is at $468 million tonight. Lunchbox, do you pick numbers or
no.
do you go rando pick?
It's all quick pick because, like I said, if I ever miss a drawing and I've been playing the same numbers for years and those numbers hit, I would be devastated. So I just go with quick picks, let the computer decide. If they want to give me the winning numbers, let them do it.
Tonight, $468 million. Are you in?
I'm in.
For how much?
I'm in for $150.
That's so much money.
$150 that's every time.
75 tickets.
And every time.
I don't like to talk about it because you guys aren't very supportive. You always tell me I'm stupid and dumb for doing it. So
but you also complain about money.
I do complain about money.
But you also spend money on the lottery. Like, I do the scratch-off deal just to kind of see if the gas stations, if those high-dollar tickets are legit. But they don't complain about money.
Yeah, and so you got 75 tickets that the computer picked. They're all different?
Yeah, I mean, they could be the same.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's all random.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just saying maybe a few of them you could just, you know, throw in. How cool would it be if, like, something that's inside you? What if that's the problem? It's inside you.
Oh, you haven't found it yet.
Not the computer.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that.
You don't have to pick the same ones
what
all
if
the time.
It's just been waiting for you to give you it's your heart.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever. That's a dumb thing. All right, anyway, here's a voicemail from last night.
Hey, Bobby Bones. I have my two kiddos here.
Hi, my name is Evelyn.
Hi, my name is Abram.
And they are so excited because I let them stay up late to watch your Running Wild with Bear Grylls episode, and they loved it. Right, guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we cannot wait for Breaking Bobby Bones. So... good luck with everything, and can't wait to see more. Bye.
Thank you, family. I wonder how much they spent on lottery tickets.
Thank you.
See, I would like to see them win. They sound nice. Right?
They probably don't play the lottery.
Why not?
I don't know. They're kids.
What age did you start playing the lottery, Lunchbox?
Like 15. I would give my dad money, and he'd go and buy scratch-offs for me. Mm-hmm. He's the one that taught me how to do it. It's a bond we have, and he doesn't really play the lottery anymore, but every once in a while, when it gets this big, he'll go get a ticket. So it would be cool to win, to make my dad proud. Like, look, you taught me this, and look what it...
So now it's about your dad. For the first time ever, he's changed up his reason he plays.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's not working the other way.
You see the picture of the girl she's probably like 9, and it looks like she is stuck in cement from her waist down.
No.
It's an optical illusion. I have such bad vision. I never see the real one. What, you know those dot things we used to look at as kids and like something would come out of it?
You have to blur your eyes a little bit.
Yeah. Since I only have one good eye and I'm colorblind, I never could see them. But I'll tell you, I'll post this now. I'll put it on my Instagram story at Mr. Bobby Bones. But this girl looks like she is stuck in concrete from her ribs up. And it's the only one I've ever been able to see immediately and go, I know what that is. It's not, because it's an illusion, right?
Yeah.
So what is she?
I'll put it on my Instagram story.
Okay, I'm headed there now.
Mr. Bobby Bones. Well, I got to hit this button first.
Okay.
But Mr. Bobby Bones, and go and look, and then I'll do a second one and show you exactly what it is.
Okay.
But I'm very proud of myself because I never see anything. Eddie and I play golf, and I hit it, and I go, hey, Eddie, where'd it go? You can kind of tell by how you hit it, but I can't see a ball.
Oh. Like you really have to ask people where your ball is?
Yeah. After... You can kind of tell by how you hit it, but then once it leaves like 50 feet, I'm like, hey, Eddie, is my ball, what direction is it in?
Oh, wow.
He's like helping. He's like my seeing eye dog out there.
I got you, man.
Amy's on my Instagram story looking at the picture. Do you see the optical illusion with the girl stuck in the cement?
No.
Click the next slide.
Oh, I don't. Okay, I want to try to guess it before I clicked.
Well, we're on the air, and it's not the most compelling of radio.
Okay, no, she's standing next.
No,
to...
No, don't say it out loud. Don't spoil it.
How? I still don't even see it. Oh. Oh, wow, this is crazy.
Look at it in your free time.
Good for you spotting it.
Only time ever. Let me tell you what happened to me yesterday, though. I get home, I go, and I have to pick up my dog from dog day camp, which he goes to twice a week. And so Stanley is a bulldog. He is a very loving dog. Sometimes he gets beat up by his sister now, Eller, because she was adopted and has issues with resource guarding. So we like to send him away to play with other dogs sometimes. And so Caitlin will take him in the morning. I'll pick him up. And so I go to pick him up, and his leash is hanging. That's like a little locker. And there's a note where his leash is. I'm like, what is this? And I get it. He had been written up.
Oh, no.
Goodness.
For what?
Apparently, there was a big dog and a small dog, maybe even a puppy, and they got into a fight. And Stanley wanted to jump in and make sure that the big dog could beat up the puppy, apparently.
Oh.
Oh. He jumped in.
Is that what he told you?
Well, apparently they were trying to jump a puppy. I'm not sure. But there was a fight, and then Stanley jumped in and was like, okay, I'll just jump in on this. And
this looks fun.
And apparently he was trying to get with the other dog and beat up the puppy. And so he got written up. Three write-ups, he's kicked out of school.
Oh, wow. So he's like a yellow slipper.
Yeah, he got a pink card, or a yellow card. Yeah, whatever they give you in soccer. Yeah, yeah. So he got his first warning yesterday.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good dog.
Well, did you have a talk with him? Two more and he's out.
Yeah, he didn't really care. I tried. But he's so tired when he comes home. It's just the greatest to be able to send him over there.
Enjoy it while you have it.
I know. Let's go over to Joshua at Tennessee. In Tennessee. Hey, Joshua, what's going on?
Hey, I think you and I need to start a club for people that are blind in one eye.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm extremely – and I'm colorblind, Joshua. The vision thing has always been kind of my Achilles heel. Once, in the most humiliating moment for me, we were in like a bowling class in college when you had to get a PE credit, and the teacher was like, all right, go up. Get the green ball. And the whole class is there. I'm not a bowl. No, get the green ball and bring it back over here. And I walk up and I grab the black ball. And I walk back. It's colorblind. She's like, no, the green ball. And I don't know why I just didn't go, hey, which one's green? But I was embarrassed. And so I walk up and grab another ball. She goes, can you not hear me? The green ball. And I was like, I can hear you, but I can't see green. And it was like an after school special moment where you're like, but I can't read. And so everybody laughed. And...
oh.
Then from that moment, I started telling people I was colorblind.
Yeah. It's probably
but till then, it was
a
hidden secret that I didn't tell anyone.
Were you nervous when you went over to the balls?
An interesting expression.
Anyway, what club is you want to start?
The blind guy club.
Blind in one eye.
Blind in one eye club. Yeah, it's it stinks. Baseball was tough, and I was a pretty good baseball player.
Why? You forget what team you're on?
Okay, see, this is what I don't. Wow, this is what you deal with. Here I am, being vulnerable to my disability. One eye.
No, I was, I didn't, I said forget.
Forget what team you're on, Amy.
Because I bat left-handed, right? I'm left-handed.
Yeah.
Throwing, hitting, everything.
Me too.
So, Matt, you know, you're not
when left-handed. I bat, yes, no, I am.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Go ahead.
So, look at me batting. So, if I'm batting this way, left-handed.
Yes.
This is my bad eye. My lead eye is coming from the pitcher.
Oh, boy.
So I'd have to open my stance, but use my back eye. Somehow I'm still able to be a pretty good hitter.
So you hit it and you're like, where'd it go?
Okay. She'll be here all week. Tell your friends. Hey, try the veal. All right. Joshua, are you okay? Is your eye good? Do you want Amy to roast you?
No. I only roast because he's my friend. I would not roast you.
I've had it my whole life. I've been roasted before. I played second base in baseball, so it was either catch it or get hit in the face.
Yeah, which mostly was get hit in the face. When I was a kid, I wore a patch. I wore a patch on my good eye, which my good eye is my left eye. My right eye is my bad eye. And I wore a patch on my good eye to try to make my bad eye stronger. And when they call you pirate and beat you up and throw your glasses out the window because you had to wear glasses too, you stop wearing the patch.
Oh,
you're like, it's not worth it.
That makes me so sad for you.
Look at the little pirate.
Mm-hmm.
Frog in the shoulder, frog in the head. Oh, let's throw my patch out the window, throw my glasses out. You know, not the easiest life heck, I think if I wore a patch now, I'd get beat up. Let's be honest.
No,
nah, we're better
I think
now.
You'd look cool.
What if I came and I just wanted that to be my new look?
Yeah.
It'd be my new thing. It doesn't matter now because my eye is now, it's officially almost dead, right? I have like 3% vision in my right eye and it cannot be improved. I don't wear glasses to help that eye. I wear glasses to protect that eye. But my other eye, is now starting to go downhill too. This has been the I Minute. Thank you. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. You?
Yeah, I kind of reliving some stuff here, obviously.
That's why I asked. Yeah. Bones.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Florida. A group of friends were out doing some drinking, having a good time, when the conversation turned to Tom Brady. And one guy's a huge Patriots fan. Other friend says, Tom Brady's so much happier in Tampa. So the New England fan beats him up.
So they didn't fight about if Tom Brady was like a great player. They fought about their allegiance to which version of Tom Brady.
Yeah, the 33-year-old is a New England Patriots fan talking about, oh, he loves the Patriots. And the guy was like, no, he's happier in Tampa.
Yeah.
That's a beating.
Yeah, I get it.
And they're best friends.
So obviously you led that story. They were drinking.
Yeah, all day.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
On the phone now is Shalana in Florida. Hey, Shalana.
Hey, Shalana. Or Bobby, I'm sorry.
Hey, what's going on?
I just wanted you to know that we watch you on American Idol, and we listen to you on the way to work in the mornings, and we've been listening to you for quite a while. And I'm just really happy for you and Caitlin. I watched your show last night, and you guys have nothing to worry about. Like, don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what they do. You just do what you guys did on that show last night. You love each other. You support each other. You protect each other, and you bear for each other. And y'all are going to be just fine.
Well, I appreciate that.
What people say about us or what their opinion is of us, it's not for us to even know. Like, God is the only one that can have anything to do with any of that, and their opinions are irrelevant. And I know that's a hard thing to get past, especially with the spotlight that y'all are in. But y'all are going to do just fine. I mean, y'all are very, very happy people, and y'all deserve a lot in life.
Well, we appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say. What did you think about the episode of Running Wild with Bear Grylls last night? Did you think it was entertaining?
Oh, I loved it. I love the escargot of heart.
Yeah, the snails, the disgusting snails.
Oh, so gross.
That we had to eat the bear found right on the edge of some sort of frozen creek bed. Yeah, that was gross. Caitlin had messaged me this morning because I left before she woke up. She goes, I woke up this morning and I stretched. And she was like, maybe I should take it easy today because I had a rough day yesterday. And then she realized, oh, I didn't really do the show yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I just watched it. I think she, for a second, felt like she was climbing down the mountains again yesterday. But and some people said that was the first time they'd ever seen Caitlin because, you know, they don't follow her on social media. Was that the first time you'd ever seen Caitlin?
Yeah, that was the first time I ever seen Caitlin and I ever seen you guys interact. And you guys were amazing. Like, I'm rooting for y'all.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, thank you for the call. Very sweet words. And tell your husband we said hello as well.
I will. Thank you so much, Bobby. And you just have a good time, okay? That's all you need to remember.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Just have a good time.
All right, have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too, buddy.
No.
Like that.
Dang, she's like the nicest person
I
ever.
I know. Yeah. She had sound
like,
advice.
She like cared. Her voice cared. Really nobody cares about me. That's going to do it for today. Amy, what's going on with you?
I'm going to be here, I think, all day. There's red carpet stuff for the iHeart Awards, so I think
the red carpet runs through the studio.
Listen, I don't know. I'm just gonna be here with my girl Jackie, apparently till 5:30, 6 o'clock. So tonight, what about you?
Well, I am doing an episode of On Time with Bobby Bones from my house tonight, where you can watch on Twitch, the app. You can just watch my Twitter feed, and I'll put a link up, and you can click that and watch it on your computer. There's ways to do it. But coming by the house tonight for my talk show will be Gary LaVox of Rascal Flatts.
Is he going to sing?
Here's the thing with Gary, probably.
I think he just sings when he, talks.
He does. He does.
He does.
And Gary and I have become friends over the past couple years, and sometimes he'll just go, hey man, I heard this song, and he's like, and it goes like, and he'll just start singing out of nowhere. But if I had that skill, I would do it too. And Lainey Wilson will come by as well.
Oh, I see her today too.
You do?
Well, she's coming through that red carpet.
So that'll be what's happening tonight. Also, Caitlin will probably pop on the first part. She's the first part of every episode. I don't think Eddie's coming by. Last time he came by, it was like for like 3 hours. We played Jenga.
Yeah, I don't think we should do that again.
That's tonight. You guys watch 9, 8 Central. That'll be on Twitch or just follow my Twitter. You can do it there. Bye, friends. The Bobby Bones Show. Let's go.